Would take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, if you remember last week, we looked at Gabriel and a couple of birth announcements. And then we looked at Mary at Mary visiting Elizabeth. And then we looked at Mary's wonderful song of praise. We pick up this week again with, and I couldn't move past it. I had maybe thought about moving right on into the birth of Christ, but We just can't pass over the birth of John the Baptist and this glorious song of Zechariah. So we're going to finish up Luke chapter 1. And if time permits, we'll read the birth of Jesus, about the birth of Jesus. Of course, next week as we look at the joy candle and the shepherd's candle and discuss the theme of joy, we will look at the Christmas story more closely next week. But if you would stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's Word, we're just going to read verses 57 through 66 this morning. Time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked him for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then would this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And that's all we're going to read for right now. You may be seated. If you remember last week, I loved Mary's song of praise. We're going to end today in looking at Zechariah's. We're going to look at a song of praise from Zechariah. Remember, the angel of Gabriel has appeared, and he has appeared to Zechariah in the temple. He told him he was going to have a son. And there was a little bit of doubt involved, and the Lord said, for a season, you're going to not be able to talk. Well, it turns out in this text, we see that they're motioning to him, and we would also think about the fact that I think he was mute. I don't think he was able to hear very well either. But in all of this glorious announcement, even though Mary, Elizabeth and Zechariah were advanced in years, God blessed them with a son, and he's about to be born. Remember that they were so excited. They were so thankful. It said that God had heard their prayer. One of the things we talked about last week is don't give up seeking the Lord. Trust in Him. Realize that He works according to His time schedule. You think about the glorious birth of Jesus and this time of year, and you think it's not the way that it seems to happen. This humble servant would come down out of the throne room of heaven, and he would be placed in a manger, in a cave, in a place of under the stars. He would be surrounded by cattle, and the first to hear the message would the angels would deliver it to shepherds that were known as kind of common people that had a bad reputation. If you were around shepherds, you were going to hold your purse really tightly. All right, these weren't the cream of the crop of people. But they were the first to hear the birth announcement of a Savior that was coming, and they would get to see. And so we think about how the Lord works, and we can trust Him. So we looked at this last week, and just to remind you of Mary and some of her song of praise, she would say things that we need to say. Remember that she would say some of the things like, "May your will be done." You know, whatever the Lord says, I'm going to believe. I'm going to follow. And we talked about that last week. This week, we're going to look at the birth of John the Baptist. Now, if you look at this right here, it says, "Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son." You see that? The time came for her to give birth. Remember, it was time. She gave birth to a son. She bore a son. And it says her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy. If you look back to verse 14 of early in the chapter, it says, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. So that was kind of a fulfillment. It says that these people rejoiced with her. Neighbors and relatives shared Elizabeth's joy. Now, this is just a little word of application. I don't usually jump to application, but that caught me right off the bat. And it's a little bit of a teaching point. You know, what kind of people are around you in life? Who do you surround yourself with? I talked to a lady this week, and, you know, her daughter is up in years, and she says that she's kind of given up maybe a little bit about maybe possibly getting married, and she gets a little discouraged, and she said, maybe I ought to lower my expectations and this and that. And we thought, no. And then I got to thinking about, where do you go? Who are you around? And of course, you know, the Lord in his timing may bless her with a husband. But that's not what my point is this morning. My point is this. Who do you surround yourself with? Where are you? Who's in your social circles? I love the fact right here. It says the neighbors in the community rejoice with her. Do you know the church of Jesus Christ? Do you know that we're supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep? I think about in this picture right here of the fact that, man, we've got a family that care for us and love us. Who is it that is around you? It says these neighbors and these people right here, it says they rejoiced and celebrated with her. Now, how do you think they heard this loving community around her? How do you think they heard of this child that would be born? A precious child who would be a prophet, the Most High, who would go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. You know, that was what he was called. And if you'll look back, we'll talk about this in a minute. But do you think that Elizabeth possibly was proud and excited about this birth of that she was giving to a boy that was going to be named John? Elated. What do you think she told the people? Do you think she rejoiced and shared the good news about the coming of the Messiah and that her son was going to be a front runner of the one who was coming, the one that the prophets had talked about? He was going to be a prophet of the Most High. He was going to have the spirit of Elijah. He was going to be a man used by God. She was proud. She shared the good news of Jesus for those to hear. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. Do you share God's wonderful miracles and mercy in your life? I told you about Anna's brother and their daughter and his wife, and how they are so excited after 7 years praying for this miracle child, and God is blessed. Do you think she's telling people? Do you think she's rejoicing? Do you think she's giving God praise? Absolutely. I pray that we share of the miracles of mercy and God's work in our lives. What kind of people are you around? I told you that. Do they love and support you? Do they weep with you and rejoice with you? And I couldn't help but to think about that church family. And I see people here this morning, and I see people that so many times from week to week that have been out of pocket because of sickness and maybe COVID and fear and worry. And man, I just think to myself, guys, we need a family. We're built for community. We need encouragement. We need people to love us and support us. And so I pray that you would humble yourselves and allow people to come around you to invest in you and to share in your life. And I pray that you would be those type people that weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. But let's go on to look at verse 59 here. If you go back to the text, so first we see a loving community, a group of people who rejoice with one another and rejoice with Elizabeth in this announcement, in this birth of John the Baptist. So looking back at verse 59, and it says, and on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. Now, why do you think she's saying he shall be called John? Remember, Gabriel would talk about this boy who would be born, and they said, you're to call him John. And so they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. It was kind of uncommon. Like as I told you, it was a little bit of shameful for not to have a son and not to have a child, especially late in life as Zacharias and Elizabeth. And so when this birth announcement came of a son, it just seemed to be common that she would name him after either the father or the grandfather. More times than not, they were named after their grandfather. But God was going to name this child. And God says, you're to call him John. And so this kind of confused the community. These people, they were like, but none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to the father inquiring what they wanted him to be called. And what did Zechariah say? Well, he said nothing because he still couldn't talk, right? He couldn't talk. Evidently, he couldn't hear too good because they were made signs and were trying to communicate to him. And he said, he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all marveled, or they all wondered. So he said his name was John. Now, as we talk about and we think about the candle of faith representing Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem, as we're going to talk more about that next week and how they stepped out in faith to follow the Lord and all that was involved in that journey. This was a sign of faith back by Zacharias right here to say, like, he's further trusting the Lord. He remembers the birth announcement, and he says he's to be called John. So we see here not only a loving community rejoicing, but we see a special calling. Verse 11 through 17, if you'll flip back over to Luke 1, 11 through 17, let's go back to what the angel says to Zechariah. Look at verse 11 of 1. It says, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Guys, I want to tell you right here, we see a special calling on John the Baptist. A special, special calling. It says many will rejoice because of his birth. It goes on to say he will be great in the sight of the Lord, verse 15. He will be set apart for God's service. And it says he's filled with the Holy Spirit. If you remember when Mary comes to announce the birth of Jesus, it says the baby leaped in Elizabeth's womb. There was something about this child that was special. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. It says he will bring many people back to the Lord, verse 16. It says he will make people ready, a people ready, prepared for the Lord. In Mark 1, 1 through 8, we hear about this man, John the Baptist. Jesus is this Lord, and John is his forerunner. John was set apart for the Lord and his purposes. I was actually going to read you Isaiah 40 this morning, but this was the prophecy that kind of also goes along with this second candle here, this Bethlehem candle. Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to read it to you. This talks about John the Baptist. It says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. Now here it is. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then it talks about a voice says, cry aloud, what shall I cry? And this is talking about the way of the Lord, God's forerunner, John the Baptist, this voice who would cry in the wilderness. And this is John the Baptist here. And this came at bleak times in the children of Israel. And guys, I'm telling you, it's been 400 years. It's been 400 years since they've heard the word of a prophet prophesy. And Zechariah is fixed to, right after this right here, After this, he said, his name is John. And it says, and they all wondered. Now look at this third point I want to bring out to you. This third point I want to show to you. It says, a divine display of power. Look at verses 64 here. And it says, immediately, remember I told you this was an act of faith when he said his name shall be called John. And it says, and immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. It says he spoke, blessing God. Now, if God had shut you up for 6 months and you got a chance to speak, what would be your first word when the tongue was loosed from the top of your mouth and God immediately allowed you to speak? Would you give him praise? Would you bless him? Would you thank him? I think that this was a time of teaching for Zechariah. I think we have two ears and one mouth. At first party last week, a little boy did a wonderful job, and he was actually talking about the theme for the month was listening. And he was speaking about, the book of James, where he says, be slow to speak and quick to listen. And he talked about Mary and Martha and how Mary had chose the greater because she was sitting at the feet of Jesus while Martha was up serving and taking care of all the duties that had to be taken care of. Zechariah had to listen a whole lot. And his spirit of listening to the Lord and his spirit of having to be quiet before the Lord. When the Lord, in this act of faith, as he wrote down on this tablet, he shall be called John. This act of faith, God immediately, it says that immediately his mouth was open, his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And it says, and look at what happened as a result of his speaking and blessing God. Verse 68, and fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. Man, it says this word wondered here. It's basically they all marveled. You know, fear came on all, it says. It says all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. Now, what do you think these people are talking about? What do you think they're talking about? You know, the word spreading. They're saying, man, God did an amazing work and is doing amazing work there at the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. There's a child that's been born. He is amazing. God has blessed him in their older age. It's a special child. He's been set apart. And we know that this man had been mute and deaf for probably for 6 months. And now all of a sudden he speaks and he gives God glory. And all these people marveled at what's happening. And it says they spread this word of this special child all through the hill country of Judea. But what they also go on to say, as they talked about, it says, and all who heard them laid them up in their hearts. It makes me think about Mary treasuring these things in her hearts. These people laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. What then? It says they marveled, they wondered. And the question on all of their minds is, what about this child? It's going to be amazing. For the hand of the Lord is with him. I couldn't help but to think about in this divine display of power, we should have lined up a baby dedication. I told Anna, this would have been a good morning. Around Christmas, we usually dedicate little children to the Lord. And this is just a simple reminder that we place them in the Lord's care, that we pray for them. We love them. We support them. We surround them with godly teachers, and we pour the things of God into them. You know, and I think about this is a somewhat of a dedication that they're having for John the Baptist here. And as Zechariah is fixed to start this Benedictus, which is Latin for the first word blessing, that where it gets its name, we're gonna call it a fancy word for that. We're gonna call it Zechariah's song this morning. As he begins his song of praise, just like Mary did, earlier in this chapter, I got to thinking about what makes you proud of your children. What do you desire for your children? What do you think what do you think Zechariah and Elizabeth were most stunned and awestruck and elated about with this baby boy that God had given them? Well, we're fixing to answer that question. But the question they have is, for the neighboring community and all throughout the region, it says, what then would this child be? What then would this child be? As we move to this last point, we're going to think about that, and I'm going to further apply that to my own children. I've got two of mine here this morning, and I know they're listening intently this morning. And you know, my little boy played basketball yesterday, and my little girl does a lot of things, and they're involved in school activities. But if you'll listen to your dad's heart this morning as I get ready to explore this last point, you'll hear what I'm most prayerful about when it comes to my children. And I'm going to also point you guys, and hopefully you're going to share my sentiment and heart about all these children that just went back to be taught in children's church, all the children that are going to come tonight for Miss Pam as we talk about creative worship, all the children that come and participate in Team Kid, all the children that are going to be running around Wednesday night as we celebrate a Christmas dinner together. I hope your heart and prayer is going to share the same as my heart and prayer, that would be radiate God's heart and cry for His children, is that they would love Him and serve Him, that they would follow His commands, and they would be used for His glory. You know, I'm glad that my boy's a pretty good little basketball player. I'm glad that they're involved in school activities. You know, most of the time they know how to mine, and they're pretty respectful. I got a lot of positive things I can say about them, but they're going to hear what my deepest cry and heart and prayer is for them. So the last point I want to look at is a special song of praise. Verses 67 through 80, you see this glorious or special song of praise, this blessing God. So it says here, verse 67, that Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David." We see here that Jesus came to rescue and redeem His people. If you realize this, this Zechariah song or Zechariah's prophecy or this Benedictus, it has to do, the first several verses have to do with not Zechariah and Elizabeth's child. It has to do with Mary's child. It has to do with the child that we celebrate this time of year, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ child. Emmanuel, God with us. Look at what he says. He says that as they're thinking about this glorious child, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people. And He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from of old that we should be saved from our enemies." So the first thing we see is that he's rescuing and redeeming His people. This has to do in points. The imagery points to the Exodus and when the Egyptians held them in captivity and Moses was raised up and God delivered them and set them free. But it also has to do with this second Exodus. It has to do with the waters of salvation parting because a Messiah is now on the scene. The one that the prophets foretold, that the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the one that would be called Emmanuel, God with us. They're celebrating this Christ child, and it says that He's come to rescue and redeem. It says He raised up a horn of salvation in the house of His servant David. This would be imagery that would point these people back to 2 Samuel 7 and the one that was from the tribe of Judah, the servant David that would always be on the throne would be on God's throne. And David was a forerunner to the one who would come, this servant Christ, this Messiah. It says it has to do and this imagery has to do with fulfillment of that prophecy of the servant of David. But it also has to do with this horn of salvation. The horn the lifting up or exalting of a horn denotes an increase in power. Jesus was about to step on the scene, and John the Baptist was going to get to be the one that would declare, "Make way His path. He's coming, I'm not unworthy to untie even His sandals." He's going to get to preach. He's going to go out in isolation in the desert and eat locusts and wild honey. Desert always symboled a place of preparation. And John the Baptist would go out. It was also a sign to the wicked people of Israel that he was set apart. It was the part that he was not going to be part of these wicked rulers and of the day, and this Herod that we're going to talk about next week, that had taken over all power, the great nephew of Julius Caesar, who had Octavian, that would get to declare that no longer would they be a republic, you know, in the Pax Romana, in the time of peace, they would now be an emperor was now. And everybody would say, "Hail Caesar," because they were looking for a deliverer, where Jesus was going to be a different type of deliverer. And many wouldn't recognize him. But John the Baptist was here to prepare the people for him. It says that he will save us from our enemies. What is our enemies? Who are our enemies? He would show us mercy. He would remember his covenant. God was fulfilling these prophecies, and John the Baptist would be the one to talk about this. But Jesus is the one that's being celebrated, the one that's being worshipped and sung about, prophesied about by Zechariah. Remember, it's been 400 years since we had heard the word of the Lord being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he's prophesying, he's singing, he's worshiping, so that we might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. You see that in verses 71 through 75. Look back at the text there. It says that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Look at verse 72. It's right there on the screen if you can see it. To show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Verse 73. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. So that's why he set us free from sin and death and eternal damnation. He set us free from those things so that we might serve him without fear. The last candle, after the joy candle, we're going to talk about the peace candle. And that's going to be because we have this reconciliation between God and man. And as the angels would say, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, that last candle, that angel candle that we'll think about in the Advent, the coming of Christ. We see here that he came to show mercy. He remembered his covenant, the oath that was swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. It says, and you, child, John, will be called the prophet. So he moves from talking about Jesus in verse 76. Now he's going to talk about his boy. His proud son that he's proud of. He says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High God. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. He says, you're going to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. This was a proud dad here. This was one that is so excited because his boy is going to introduce the people of Israel to their long-awaited Messiah. You see it there, to give knowledge to the people of the forgiveness of their sins. Remember, he would preach forgiveness of sins. It says, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Look at verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There it is again, peace. He's going to give light to those who sit in darkness. These candles here symbolize the one who came in the midst of great darkness. Remember, the Assyrian army had taken off the people, and the Babylonians had taken off the people into captivity. God had used his enemies to judge his people because of their wickedness, because of their idolatry. And now they're in just bleak slavery and bondage. And God brings a glimmer of hope through Isaiah. And they're pointing toward a prophet who's going to deliver his people. And John the Baptist here, Zechariah's boy, is going to get to lead and be a front runner and forerunner for this Christ child. Guys, let me tell you what makes me happy about my boy and my girl as I pray for them, is that they would serve the Lord and they would point people to him. And they would be used by him. As I'll see little Holland in a few weeks, as we raise her up before you and we have a prayer for her, my prayer is that God would take Holland and that he would put his arms and around her, and that He would lead her and guide her, and through godly parents and through broken parents and through parents that make a mess of things, that God would still have mercy, and that somehow would pour into her things that she would learn, and that she would be devoted to Him all of her days, and that she would serve Him. Will and Savannah, my prayer for you guys is that you wouldn't be popular, and that you would score a bunch of points at the ball games. My prayer is that you would love and serve God and be a front runner of those who need to hear, make way the path of the Lord, that need to hear of a Savior that came to deliver them from their sins. What are you proud of for your children? I can tell you what brings most people most glory, because I'm in the sports world. How hard can I hit that baseball? How good can I run that football? Miss Bonnie, you see it. You get to run the park over there. You see those GoPros on the fences. You see that Sunday morning they're out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, my wife, we had an announcement this week, and a group of people were texting and saying, "What we're trying to celebrate my boy's birthday. What day could they spend the night? Friday or Saturday?" I'm getting in trouble. I'm going to say it anyway, Anna. It's all right. What day, Friday or Saturday? All the parents said, "Well, we got to do it Saturday night because Saturday's game day." And I thought, man, that's true. I mean, that's the world we live in. Saturday's game day. Sunday's not. Sunday's not game day anymore. It's sad. But what are you valuing your children, your grandchildren? Where do you point them? What's important to you? They see the things that's important to you. They're going to value the things that are important to you. So when parents are hauling these children around all over the Southeast, they see what's most important. I hope and pray that this time of year you're spending time with your children in the Advent readings. You're showing them what's most important. And it's the fact that they would love God and they would serve Him. They would devote their life to Him. You say, well, maybe when they get older, maybe that'll be important. Guys, if it's not important while they're younger, it's not going to be important when they get older. It's not. If it's not important to you and you're the place person that they're looking toward, then it's not going to be important to them. So that's my prayer. That's my cry. And as we pray for little Holland in a few weeks and we raise her up to the Lord, that's what I'm going to ask you to pray for her, is that she would be devoted to the Lord and that we would pour into her the things that she needs to know to point people to Jesus. John the Baptist has got a special calling here. We've looked at this morning from this text. We've looked at a loving community that rejoices with one another. We've seen a special calling on a child that would be set apart, that would be a prophet of the Most High God, one that would lead the one who would be a light to those that are in darkness. And we see a proud father as he heralds and talks about the Messiah. He says, man, my son gets to lead the way. I hope and pray that you'll rejoice and pray that God would call out your boys and girls to serve Him, and that you'll be just as excited about that, or way more excited about that than you are when they make an A-B honor roll. It needs to be seen as important, and I pray that God would call them out. We saw a community rejoicing together. We saw a special calling on this child. We see a divine display of power as God loosens the tongue of Zechariah's mouth, as all the people marveled. He came on all these things, and he were talked about through all the hill country, and they all said, what then would this child be? I pray that people ask that question about your boys and your girls and your grandchildren. What will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. For the hand of the Lord was with him. And then we see a special song of praise as Zechariah talks about his child, as he talks about the Christ child. And then he says, my son is going to get to lead the way here. A proud dad. The rising sun here in verses 78 and 79 will come to us. It says, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. Do you see the ones coming? To shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death. This is also from Isaiah chapter 9 when it says a light's coming into the darkness. I think it's Numbers 24 where it talks about that bright and morning star. These are symbolic imageries of light that really represent the Savior. The sunrise, the rising sun, is the Son of God that will come to take away the sins of the world, that would bring light and darkness, that will come even in the valley of the shadow of death and give hope. This is a messianic picture. The light that shines on those in darkness heralds the birth of the child who will reign forever on the throne of David. Guys, what a wonderful time of year. What a wonderful passage of Scripture, the birth of John the Baptist and Zechariah's prophecy. A loving community, rejoicing, a special calling on a child, a divine display of power, and lastly, a special song of praise. Will you be faithful to love God and serve Him and lead your families well? Will you think about, as we think about this wonderful time of year, as we think about not only hope, the prophets pointing to the one who would come and the hope we have through His coming, we think about faith and the journey of Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. This is the Bethlehem candle right here. What about your journey? Are you living a life of faith? Next week we'll think about the shepherds, the good news of great joy. We'll talk about the joy, joy, joy. We'll sing, the children will sing, and we'll talk about the glorious gospel that brings joy to the hearts of those living in darkness and entrapped by darkness. And then lastly, Christmas Eve, we'll celebrate the angel's candle. The candle symbolizing peace, and then we'll light the Christ candle. Let us continue to serve God and point people to Him as we think about His coming, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You for this time together this morning, Your love for us. God, the fact that You came and met us in our darkness and our brokenness and our sin. You came to rescue us, to bring us hope, to deliver us from our enemies. Lord, we thank You that that light came into the darkness. Lord, many need to hear. I thank You for John the Baptist and Zechariah and Mary, Elizabeth, and Lord, them leading their child and son, and how they were so devoted and thankful for Your gift. God, I pray that we would thank God for our little gifts and that we would point them to Jesus and pray that You would use them for Your honor and for Your glory, God, that we would devote them, Lord, we would devote ourselves first and foremost to You, and that we would devote them to Your service, God, just as little Hannah would devote Samuel to serve the Lord all of his days, God. May we be found faithful. Would You use our church? Would You use our people? Would You strengthen us so that we may in turn strengthen others? May You be honored and glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.